Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Align IT Manager Tech Talk series. I'm Ruth Morton, and we are recording this live from the Microsoft Canada headquarters in Mississauga, Ontario.
Absolutely.
I'm here with my colleague, Jonathan Rosenblit, who is also my co-host for this series.
Happy to be so. And we're trying out a new platform and trying out different features and stuff like that, so I figured I'd walk you through a little bit of the interface to show you how to work.
And I'm going to interrupt you because we have to be transparent.
Yes, we do.
This isn't the first time I actually recorded this
true.
Introduction.
Very true. First episode.
This is the first episode. We did the live recording. The first 5 minutes didn't get recorded. So this is actually just for the download, and you guys don't need to know how to use the interface.
Yeah, but if you have any questions on how to use it for next month, feel free to either connect with Ruth or myself, and we'd be happy to walk you through it.
Yeah, and if you have any feedback for us, you can get us at alignit@microsoft.com.
Or alignitca on Twitter.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Let's see, is there anything here? Oh, yeah, we need to introduce our guest.
Our
guest here is Brian Bourne. He is president of CMS Consulting here in Toronto, Canada. And Brian, actually, you've been involved in security a long time, and that's why we brought you on the show.
Yeah, and I guess the whole preamble everybody missed before we get into our first question, which is my involvement in the security industry. So CMS Consulting is a Microsoft partner, doing all the Microsoft infrastructure technologies, of which security is an important part. But I also run Sector, which is the largest security conference now in Canada, modeled very much after Black Hat, which was last week in Las Vegas, big security conference there. And I also run TASC, which is a Toronto Security User Group that's now over 3,000 members. This month I'd expect over 200 members to show up because it's a Black Hat DEF CON review, but 120, 200 members every month, so IT managers and IT pros come together. It's entirely free. You go to task.to and just enter your email address to get our mailings, and that's all there is. You just show up. There's no registration. It's a great venue for people to talk about security. So
that's
awesome. Kind of my background and involvement.
Awesome. Thanks
that's
for joining
cool.
us. And actually, the idea for today's episode came from a podcast that Brian and I did along with a couple other folk. There was Bruce Cowper. And
Barnaby
Jeans, who has left us since for that virtualization company that shall not be named. But back then, it was 2007 when we did that recording, and it's still one of the most downloaded episodes of the Align IT audio podcast series.
Which, by the way, you can get to on the Align IT portal, right?
Yes. Yep. We have all the episodes up there. But it was about time for an update because that was 2007, and, that's how this came about, to talk about security once again and bring Brian on the show for that.
Perfect.
So at this point, we're going to now move off to our regularly scheduled program, which actually did get recorded live from our office today. Thank you very much.
Enjoy
the show. And what has changed as far as how IT managers should think about security from then, or has anything changed?
I think, starting with, I don't remember 2007 all that well.
Was it
that long
too much partying?
I just spent a week in Vegas. The defense in depth model and all the layers you should build security at haven't changed. If you're spending a week in Vegas, what really strikes me is while the very specifics of different attacks have changed, all the attack vectors and all the layers you need to defend at haven't changed in years and years and years.
Yeah.
And so it's probably still as relevant today as it was in 07 as far as what layers and how to build defense. What's unique today is, some of the specifics.
Okay. Yeah.
So for those of us who don't remember the 2007 podcast, give us, how about some highlights?
I recently just listened to it, and I'll let you off the hook, Brian, because way to put him on the spot there.
It's a live show.
So, I remember we talked a lot about the application layer and about how you can't just look at your security from one aspect, from, say, the desktop or from the server or from, there's, the gateway, there's the applications and how they interact with each other, there's database security, there's client security. I don't remember if we talked about this, but one thing I'd also like to talk about in the in light of social media, there's the human education aspect of security as well. So, you know, kind of you layer your security layer by layer to protect your infrastructure.
Yeah, there's network layer and data layer here and there as well. I guess what's interesting is where the focus of attacks moves. So all those layers stay the same. I would say the last few years, the focus has moved up to the application layer and, of course, users.
Yeah.
As people got better at the infrastructure, so the network layer and generally perimeter defenses, as people got better at perimeter defenses, the attackers went to the next layer that's like people have invested in less, right? And so, you know, even this year at Black Hat, there's a lot at the web application layer, SQL injection type attacks, et cetera, and a lot targeted at users, so browser-based attacks, and collection off the user machine, malware to the user machine is getting harder and harder to keep up with. So that's what's happening. And there's starting to become a little bit of a trend back to infrastructure as people have gotten comfortable with it and started to forget about it a little. So, you know, the layers all stay the same and the focus changes.
Yeah, and this is one of the problems too, is that when I was doing some reading and stuff, they were saying how actually the focus on social media security has actually diverted the focus off of things like database security. And this article was specifically around database security.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, you gotta kind of have this overall big picture.
You really do.
And yeah, and you have to keep at it. So there's new threats coming in, but you can't forget the old threats.
And it's interesting, Brian, that you mentioned too that you have to look at all the different layers. And Ruth, you mentioned it as well, where you know a lot of development managers that I talk to, I always push it back to say, oh, you know what? It's just an infrastructure thing. We'll take care of security on an infrastructure thing. And you know, it's to your point that it's not just there. You have to take it all the way through the layers.
Yeah, I recently had a customer say we don't need to worry about patching because we have antivirus. So not everybody's entirely.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
Which goes back though to what you were saying, Ruth, about the awareness and education from the human aspect, right?
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about specifically around social media, because that's kind of one of the latest greatest things. What kind of threats does social media bring into an organization that that IT needs to be aware of? Why should they care? Or,
there's social media. Mostly, you think about personal threats, right? Because meaning identity theft or privacy issues. A lot of privacy issues.
Yeah.
And you map that into the enterprise, then what does the enterprise need to care about? That's kind of the interesting question. And we talked about this earlier when you asked me this question. And I think to a large degree, when you think about things like malware and web-based malware, because everybody's seen like a wall post that looks for, somebody says, hey, check out this website.
It looks slightly suspicious, but it's one of your
sounds
your
interesting. You want to click
your network.
Of course.
But from an enterprise perspective, that's just web-based malware. Yeah. And so that should be a defense layer that you understand and build strategy to protect against web-based malware today. Then there's like the whole data protection, like loss of information. If people post on their wall, hey, I just like finished my whatever NDA topic, right?
Yeah.
That's a potential issue, especially if they don't have their privacy set well, you could get like information leakage or data leakage that way. And then something else that is interesting for an enterprise to think about is as your enterprise marketing team is building out social media strategies, if anybody from that marketing team were to be social engineered or phished and suddenly somebody else is posting as you on Twitter, so you might have a real PR issue if you insult all your users with a Twitter post or something like that, right? So
yeah, and it's different when, I mean, what happens is that one slip of either company data or even just something, an insult or something, it has much more impact on Twitter than it does when you're just saying it to your friend in the coffee shop or some anonymous person in the coffee shop or whatever.
Retweets are powerful things.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're talking to thousands of people, whereas you didn't mean to. So educating your employees on how to use social media and how to use it effectively, which means, I mean, as always, IT needs to work in conjunction with marketing and with
the business, of course.
With the business to make sure that this is done. And one of the other things that I hear a lot about is the geolocation or geotagging of photos. And And we were talking about this prior to the show. I actually put a resource in the resources tab on the U.S. Army, and they put together a slideshow. It's a PDF slideshow.
Very interesting PDF, by the way.
It had some interesting stories there. So, and most of them are about personal security. And I want to talk about personal, but then also take that into, well, what does that mean for businesses? And maybe it doesn't impact all businesses. But one of the stories is one of the guys from Mythbusters. And yep. I forget his name.
Adam Savage.
Adam Savage.
There we go.
So he took a picture of his Jeep outside of his house and said, oh, I'm on my way to work. And all of a sudden, so from that one photo, people knew what he drove, where he lived, because it was geotagged, and what time he left for work.
Yeah.
You know,
what happens when you share?
yeah. Quit sharing. No, but you have the U.S. Army, who of course needs to educate their soldiers, because their soldiers want to communicate with friends and family back home, but they can inadvertently give away location of Army things.
Yeah, so. A geotagged photo there might be significantly.
Yeah, have a little bit of impact on, you know. So do most organizations care about this? Should they care?
So there were some interesting tool releases and discussions that happened at Black Hat actually around this whole topic for harvesting, like for mass harvesting this kind of geo information. So tagging like all Microsoft.com people and looking for Microsoft.com people who post photos and then pulling all the data together to see if you see common threads about people geotagged in the same location.
Yeah.
So of course, you could see the popular bar that they all hang out at after work, which might be an interesting place to go to in social engineer. But you might find out who's cheating with who because they geotagged.
there's an aspect for it.
They're at the same Comfort Inn, you know. So there's a whole conversation, some tool releases around collecting that information. From an enterprise perspective, it's user education and then do you care? Yeah. Obviously, if you're an Army, you care quite a lot. I was talking there with some of the pen testers, and I'm like, that seems like a lot of work. Why don't you just look up the head office and find the nearest bar? It seems so much easier.
Coffee shop or whatever.
It should be easier to
so it
get
depends
all that
on,
time.
On what you care. I guess it depends, too. I do remember, actually, back in the day, I worked for a software company in Toronto, and it was when we were just becoming aware of kind of corporate espionage, and we were in stealth mode, and kind of really aware of that. I do remember, actually, somebody walking into the office, and we had executive aisle, and they physically went, during the day, went and took all the executive laptops out of all the offices. So they must have known when the executives weren't there. And they probably just followed someone, or it was an inside job. I don't know.
Tailgate's pretty easy.
There is some corporate espionage, but you're right. You can. There's easier ways of doing it.
And spear phishing is a very easy way to get into a lot of organizations now.
What is spear phishing?
So spear phishing.
I don't fish myself.
You
so.
Don't fish yourself.
No. I've tried. Miserable at it. Miserable
it's like
at
15
it.
15 bucks to get a fishing license.
Yeah.
So very targeted phishing attack. So spear phishing could be as broad as just targeting to a company, so blasting a whole bunch of people at cms.ca that there's a new group benefits, go to this website to log on and select which benefits you want to sign up for. And then, you don't need to get, you can put the CMS logo on and make it look very CMS official.
Yeah.
And then they just log in with their domain credentials to, select their group benefits.
Hey,
so that's
fair enough. Try that.
Don't worry, it shouldn't work in my company, I hope. But, that would be a fairly big spear. Or it could be CMS just hired a new director of operations and somebody sends a very targeted email just to him. Hey, new director of operations, we know you just started 2 days ago because there was an announcement in the Globe, and here's how you get your VPN access. Click here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Nice.
And
wow.
Pretend to be from the IT department so it looks very official. And it's pretty easy to spoof the from address and put logos on it.
Are you seeing a lot of that?
So that's a very common way that pen testers get into companies. So penetration testers, pros. So when you hire a security firm to say, what are my weaknesses, can you get in? They use that a lot. But it's also a lot of the big attacks that you've seen. Even some of the ones recently with a whole bunch of Gmail accounts compromised were phished. Pass-throughs
of fish. So yeah. Now you mentioned that that came through email and stuff like that. Are you seeing any of that coming in through social media channels? Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, and a matter of fact, somebody had a clever idea. So certainly, like, that's one way to draw people to a malware site. But someone had a clever idea at Black Hat last week. A lot of people do vanity Google alerts, right? So, you know, how it'll tell you anytime Brian Bourne is mentioned in an article anywhere.
Right? Yeah.
And anytime
it's... We both have that for you, sure. By the way, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yeah. We know all about you.
the vanity series, like, yeah. The alerts. Well, that's a very good way to also fish somebody. Post an article tagging them. Be like, yeah, I wonder who's talking about me. Click and go to the site.
Oh.
Very interesting, clever way to drag people.
That's interesting.
So then, is the answer to just not do any social media? And the reason why I ask is, one of my previous roles, basically, social media was deemed banned, if you will. Everything blocked. Like, across the board, you could not do it. You could not log on. Nothing. It was...
And you didn't figure out how to use a Tor client or an anonymizer to get there?
Well, I may or may not have. In pure testing, of course. Right. But is the answer then, because the answer from IT at that point was, we're just going to block it off.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Does that actually solve the problem?
No, because anybody motivated will figure out how to get there anyways. And the last thing you want to do is implement IT mechanisms that drive your users to figure out how to bypass them.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So I would suggest that IT has failed if you're not encouraging the right user behavior. Right?
And the other thing is that you block off this, which maybe it does keep your IT secure, but then are you losing business opportunities? So all of a sudden your technology becomes a barrier to the business instead of something that that helps drive business.
Yeah, especially with most marketing departments would agree social media is part of a good marketing strategy.
Yeah.
A lot of these attack vectors are not really new, and if they didn't come through social media, they'd come through other ways to get you to click on a link. So that really drives the need for endpoint security, still the perimeter inspection of web traffic, and the defense in depth that we talked about in 07.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have any, and I'm going to totally put you on the spot here, Brian,
go ahead.
Live show.
If I'm an IT manager and we talked about defense in depth, and is there any templates or where can I go to get started? So even educating my employees, how do I start? Is there, here are the things that your employees should know that you should be teaching them. Here are the things, the layers you need to look at for your security. I mean, I mentioned some. I usually think of things from, bottom top or top bottom. And of course, everybody's infrastructure is going to be slightly different. Everyone has different applications that connect or don't connect with social media.
I'm pulling a blank on exactly the name, but you could probably do a quick Bing search and find this. Microsoft just released a new solution accelerator around securing the enterprise.
Mm.
It's actually very detailed and includes a lot of tools and things to look at.
I will look at it and we'll
add
see
that
if we can
the resources
post that.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I forget the exact name of the solution accelerator, but there's a brand new solution accelerator around specifically this.
Awesome. Good. I'm glad you know about it.
And then of course, obviously, from the development side, there's also Microsoft's SDL. Right, which is a full-out framework for purely just security and
SDL.
How to...
Don't use these acronyms.
The security design lifecycle.
Excellent.
You guys are putting me on the spot now. But if you look up the Microsoft SDL, that actually talks to the application and the data layers that you were talking to and how to actually put that into your development lifecycle so that you're not thinking about it after the fact.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So we're going to switch things a little bit here. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. Yeah. One of the other things that's changed since 2007 on our original podcast is that cloud computing has become such a hot topic. And I know we're going to be talking more about this next month. Jonathan will tell you about that. But how does cloud computing also kind of change up things when it comes to security? All of a sudden, you're putting parts of your infrastructure or your applications and you're giving them to a vendor.
And now you have to trust that vendor to deliver security.
Yeah.
And all you can really do is contract around it and hope that they don't fail. And, And
I mean, we're not even talking about outages. We're just, you know, which is a whole other another aspect of it. But.
Yeah, well, availability is part of security. Yes, but yeah. That aside, so really my general guidance right now is that cloud providers, they've all had failures. They all will have.
Yep.
Every individual IT shop has and will have security failures also. So I would say you have to make an individual decision that says, can I do this better? And even if I can, do I need to?
Yeah.
Per data set, right? So or workload. So some workloads may be better serviced in the cloud, and you may either not be able to do security any better than the cloud provider, and or you may just not care because the data doesn't need to be that secure.
Yep.
For that specific workload. And those are the things that you have to balance and figure out. Cloud providers, yeah, you hear that they have breaches, but on the flip side, they have advanced enough technology to know they've been breached.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Very true.
I have a lot of customers that an attacker will be in there for months and months and months, and this, they won't know.
Yeah.
And more and more, if you have something valuable to an attacker, they'll go out of their way not to just avoid detection, but, you know, keep everything healthy for you so that you don't.
Yeah, I actually know of recent security attack, but that happened. I mean, they found out about the attack through a roundabout way, and then when they started looking at all their systems, they realized that things were purposely put into place to make it look like everything was happy and everything was up and running. And no wonder they didn't realize.
And surely that was being planned for months, which is exactly what Brian was saying. And they were in there. And
yeah.
They got lots of time to fix your environment because obviously you didn't. So.
Yeah, no, it's true. And one of the resources that we put up was, which actually blew me away. I loved actually seeing our Microsoft Global, I'm going to get this wrong, GFS.
Global Foundation Services.
Thank you, Global Foundation Services, put together this awesome video about the Microsoft Data Center. And I took this, the first time I showed it was the day after it got released. I took it up to Georgian College up in Barrie and showed it to the students there. And just they were just in awe. It's such a great video. It kind of really shows you the investment that Microsoft has made and other cloud providers. I mean, it's not when we talk about this in abstract terms, you think, oh, well, can they do it better than me? But then when you look at what they've actually done and they've got these four generations and how they're continually improving and how they plan for failures, hardware failures, for they assume they're going to be constantly, you know, battered with hackers, and that's what they do.
At MMS, Brad Anderson did a keynote, and he said the Microsoft Chicago data center has 700,000 servers.
700,000. Impressive.
Yeah. I was floored. That was the only part of the keynote I remember. I was like, wow. it's at a scale, and I mean, there's literally hundreds of servers just doing security and just watching the environment. So, I mean, Microsoft already had some issues, right? Like on the Hotmail side, et cetera, and so has Google, and so has Amazon. Like they've all had, but they have all the technology
to respond quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be key for cloud vendor providers. Not okay if you get breached. It's kind of when you get breached, how do you respond? You know, and how are you protecting your company's application or your customers' applications and data, and how are you keeping them informed, and so there's this relationship that has to happen between the cloud vendor and the organizations that are using their services.
And the organization needs to figure out, like I said, whether the cloud vendor can do it better or not than they can do it themselves.
Yeah.
Whether they care enough about that specific data set, you know, maybe good enough is good enough, and they can spend their money protecting something that's higher value.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really a great way of putting it. I mean, as I'm talking to various people about cloud computing, and definitely we'll talk about it more next month, but one of the things that keep coming up is people think it's either all or nothing. And I love how you are basically saying, no, you have to make sure that it's specific things that you need to worry about, and you can mix and match.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And really quickly, we'd be remiss without just mentioning, I mean, every time I talk about cloud computing, and I'm sure it happens with you as well, they talk about data and governments and governmental issues. And I know everyone goes, oh,
Of course. Yeah. This always comes up.
Yeah.
Always.
So what? How do you respond when someone says, oh, I don't want to put my data in the cloud because...
Patriot Act.
The Patriot Act is going to... Government's going to take my data.
And So me as an IT consulting firm, I wouldn't necessarily want all my competitors to see my statement of work templates and how we approach different projects. I could really care less if the U.S. government wants to subpoena it and see how I do the statement of work.
Yeah. So
am I worried? No. Do I have a legal obligation to keep it in the country? Absolutely not. And for all but a few financial institutions and some government agencies and some public sector, pretty much nobody else in Canada has the reason to keep it in Canada.
Yeah.
And this Patriot Act, you have to sit there and say, like, does it ever matter? Like, what's the likelihood? It's like any security risk. What's the likelihood? And then what's the impact if it happens? So the likelihood is very low that they'll want to see your stuff.
Unless the impact is
zero. So if likelihood is low and impact is zero, then you shouldn't care.
Yeah.
If, you know, likelihood is high and impact is high, well, then you should.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
It's blown way out of proportion. I think once people wrap their head around, like, those two aspects.
Yeah. Anything more to add on that?
No,
we kind of go around. And I think actually the laws are, one of the problems is that the laws are, we're not drawn up with that in mind either. And so there's...
Yeah, the laws for all this stuff are actually pretty old.
Yeah.
Though from what we're hearing from, there was an article actually by John Wagan, who is the privacy officer for Microsoft Canada. He actually went into full depth about all of this stuff and that companies, cloud vendors, are actually working with governments to update the laws so that it takes all this stuff into account. More specifically than people having to interpret what that means from a cloud perspective. So
yeah.
It's coming. It's definitely not there yet, but
okay. It's
coming. It's coming.
All right, well, we kind of need to wrap this
episode up.
I know,
First episode, there we go. Already done.
Not done yet. We got a couple of wrap-up notes to make use, to just make note of. I wanted to mention again Sector, which is coming up October
17
and 19. 17 and 19, so sector.ca. And also Task again, if you're in the Toronto area and you want to meet monthly with other people that are talking about security issues.
And that was task.to, right?
It's entirely free. You don't register. You just show up.
Just show up. That's
very
good.
Cool.
And they're very friendly. Please fill out your feedback form. If you click on the feedback tab, you'll see the form there where you kind of ask some questions there just to get a feel for, who you are and what you care about for next episodes coming up.
That's a great segue to talk about what's coming up next month. So next month we're actually doing a straight talk about Windows Azure. This was a perfect start to the conversation in terms of security and whatnot, but as you know, there's many different aspects that come with talking about Windows Azure. So we'll have another featured guest, of course, and we'll talk about the problems that are solved by Windows Azure, some of the opportunities that arise from a business perspective going to the cloud, but more importantly, how do we get developers, architects, and all the IT staff that have to sort of leverage the cloud for actual applications, how do we get those individuals ramped up to speed, and looking at the cloud as a possible tool in their tool chest for applications. So that's coming up next month.
And how you find out about it is you can go to www.alignit.ca, or you can click on the bottom, right-hand side of
bottom
your screen.
Right-hand corner.
It says get the Align IT newsletter.
Yep.
Jonathan and I put that together with the team here, and it comes out about a week and a half before each of the episodes that I'll remind you to sign up.
And just remember also from your feedback forms, if you want to see something specific in the newsletter, that's a place to put it also. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for joining us as well.
All right.
Have a good one.